You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, Ed Stetzer here for the New Churches Podcast, episode 8 billion or something like that. It's over hundreds. They tell me not to give the episode numbers anymore, so I'm following the rules. The new guy. You know, we're now a resource of the New Churches and the Send Network. And so the new guy in charge, he rules with an iron fist. His name's Clint. You sometimes hear with him every once in a while, and I just try to do what he says. But anyway, today we're going to talk about increasing your church's church planting IQ. They actually wrote increasing your congregation's church planting IQ, so I wouldn't make the mistake of saying church twice. But this is an important issue, important question, because today, particularly as we're coming out of COVID, people are, you know, where's church planting fit on these things now? How do we get churches to be thinking about church planting again and more? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We have two guests, Chuy Rodriguez, born and raised in Mexico City, Chuy and his wife Carla, now live in Virginia with their four kids. Chuy's right now the interim pastor for preaching and teaching at New City Fellowship. Also works with Hispanic church planting efforts of the New City Network. And before that was work with the Acts 29, leading their Hispanic efforts as well. Catherine Renfro serves as director of evangelism at the North American Mission Board. She and her husband, Chris, began a journey of church planting in August 2021, launched Hope Church in Alpharetta. And Chris serves there as lead pastor. Catherine graduated from Southeastern Seminary and been serving on full-time ministry since she was 22, except works in evangelism, particularly at the North American Mission Board. Catherine, I want to go first to you. A lot of congregations, new and existing, they don't really know how to articulate church planting as maybe part of their vision. Maybe they don't even feel church planting is very vital. So how can a pastor, actually, let's put it this way. How can a church and church leaders that prioritize multiplication educate the congregation?
Ed, thanks for letting me be a part of the conversation today. You know, what I've seen is that the knowing and understanding the importance of church planting and multiplication really is taught. But a passion for multiplication and church planting, I think, is caught. And it's caught from seeing the passion that other people, other ministry leaders have for church planting and multiplication. You know, in my own life, I heard about church planting a lot. I was taught how important it is, how important multiplication is. But it wasn't until I saw really the passion of others for multiplication, and also the power behind multiplication to really reach other people with the hope of the gospel, that the Lord started just really changing my heart towards it and just showing me, like, we're all called to multiplication. We're called to be sharing the hope of the gospel. And so from a ministry leader perspective, I think one of the best ways to go about showing other people and teaching them the importance of it is, one, talk about it. The more they talk about it, the more the people in the church hear about it. The second thing is, I think, giving to it. So when we give to what we say is important to us, it not only says it's important to us, but it shows that it's important to us. And so you talk about it, you give to it, and then send people when there are opportunities to do that. When I think about Hope Church, from the very first Sunday that we met as a church plant, our pastor, Chris, who's also my husband, started talking about why we're planting churches, why it's important, and started talking about church plants, even one in Puerto Rico, that we were going to be supporting and giving to from day one because we believe in it. We believe it, we see the importance of it, and that's the culture that we want to build within Hope Church. And so we were giving money towards other church plants. But then when opportunities come to send people to be a part of a church plant, I think they just catch the fire and the passion for it. And they want to be a part of what they see God doing as he's reaching people and changing lives.
Yeah, so good. And you know, just so everyone knows who's listening to, Catherine talked about direct support of church plants. They were supporting a church plant in Puerto Rico, and every church plant could be engaged in that. And also, most of you, listen, are actually engaged in a denomination or a network where you can actually give collaboratively to church planting as well. It might be a church planting fund, might be a missions fund, whatever it may be. So, but both of those allow you to, you know, talk about your church plant in Puerto Rico, like they were doing, the Renfros were doing, and talk about, well, we're involved in church planting all over. And actually, in the case of Chewy, you were involved, of course, with X29, now with the New City Network. And they're both kind of more network-y. You know, X29 feels a little more denomination-y lately because it's just more structured. But how, from a network perspective, how do you prioritize church planting among a large number of churches? How do you get the movement to buy into and stay focused on church planting? What do you think?
Yeah. So what I can probably speak to the best is my context. So yeah. I work amongst Hispanics, and we have a set of different challenges. And one of the first things I'm trying to do, and I did it with X29, I'm currently doing it with New City, is also to start challenging that mindset of the leadership of the Hispanic church that is very zealous and jealous of other ministries. So in the Hispanic community, I would probably begin there, just starting to pitch the idea that more churches are better for the community, for our you know, Hispanic demographic in the United States right now. And I would probably start there by challenging that. And once the leadership of a church begins to understand that, I think we can start the process of now more explicitly talking about church planting. And Hispanics are very diverse, so you cannot assume that church planting is even something they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I would even take a couple of steps back when it comes to the Hispanic community. But I would echo the same thing that Chris, Catherine said in talking about it. Something that has worked for some of the churches that I've worked with is preaching through the book of Acts. It almost forces you to see the church planting movement and to realize that it's not only about your church and how you can even help in fundraising and supporting in different ways other churches. So in my context, that's one of the things that I think we're doing. And another work that I've been doing when it comes to Hispanic church planting is also exposing more American or majority churches to the growing need of minorities. So we have, I live in Virginia, and we are experiencing a great just number of new immigrants coming, Afghans and Pakistanis, and people from all kinds of different places. So exposing our churches to that need, I think it's important. Something I noticed when I came to America was that there was a church in almost every corner in the places that I came to, because I come from Mexico, and that's not the case. So in a sense, there is an assumption that there's no more churches needed. Mm-hmm. But if you basically leave the majority culture, then you find a new harvest and a new group of people that are in desperate need of new churches and the gospel. So as a Hispanic who works amongst Hispanics and minorities, I would probably start talking about those things. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I would say, too, that's a good – sometimes when you're planting a church, you know, Catherine, you guys are planting now in Alpharetta. It's sometimes a stretch for a congregation to think about planting a church. Maybe – I mean, you guys have been involved in church planting, so it's a little different. But let's say it's an established church, and they're like, well, why would we plant a church 15 minutes away from us that's like us – when people can come to our church? But one of the ways that people often do get engaged and involved is a church plant that's of people maybe not like us. And again, that can be a good thing. That can be a learning thing as well. And that's one of the advantages too, being part of a denomination or a network, is you have churches of different ethnicities and backgrounds, maybe even languages, and it gives you an opportunity to engage in different ways. What are some ways, Catherine, that you guys encourage, you know, they're working at the North American Mission Board, but also at the local church. What are some ways to help church churches think about church planting to raise their church planting IQ of the individual congregation? What are some ways you'd suggest, Catherine?
One of the things that we do often is just talk about the need, you know, the need of people hearing the gospel. That's ultimately what it's about. It's not about building more churches, growing more churches, but it's really about expanding the kingdom. That's why churches are planted in the first place. And so just to raise that IQ is when you really show the need in the community. And really, we don't know the need of the community unless we're engaged in the community. And so we really encourage people to get out, to go visit people in the community, talk to people, visit, local stores, your fire departments, your schools, really, and find out what are specific needs and who is in the community that needs to be reached. And so when you have an idea of who your community is made of and what the needs in the community are, and then you can show that need to the church, it really helps, I think, the people to understand, hey, why it's important to plant churches, to meet those needs, to meet those people where they are so that they can hear the gospel.
Love that. Great. Mm-hmm. One of the things, too, we have at newchurches.com, we have the masterclass, Church Planting and Ascending Church Masterclass. So you can use that as ways to, train people in a church. All free. Everything's free. And also the Church Planting Primer is there as well. So check those out as well. Chewy, you mentioned the New Testament, and I recognize that you could easily make fun of me for saying, well, what about the New Testament? You mentioned the book of Acts in particular. It is fascinating to me that clearly the New Testament is a book about new churches, with the challenges of new churches, and then throughout the book of Acts with the expansion of new churches. Acts 1:8 probably is just an outline of the book of Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Yet, even though the characters in the New Testament are church planters or church planting team members, it seems that so many people miss the obvious and they think of it as, maybe this was written to churches with buildings, with columns and all that sort of stuff. So how do we make church planting clear again from the New Testament and the book of Acts, even as we teach it?
Yeah. So what I heard before is that, and I think that this is a prevalent belief still today, is that that was a different time. It was a time when there wasn't any churches. So this was an emphasis needed because it was the birth of the church. But I think that the need continues to be big. And I think that I would also, again, echo what Catherine said, just making sure that people are in touch with the need. I think that if you preach the book of Acts in a vacuum, in a place where everyone continues to see church after church and are familiar with denominations and there's a Christian culture, I think it will be a hard case to build. But if your church is involved in the community, and I would even say not just involved in the community, but involved in communities that look different than yours, I think that that's going to help you, because that's exactly what was happening in the New Testament. The Jews, the apostles, were encountering all kinds of Gentiles that needed the gospel in different ways. And I believe that that was a catalyst for growth. And I would even say that the more we engage our churches with the immigrant, with the widow, with the poor, the more they will realize that we need more churches. And specifically in America, I believe that there is an assumption that being an American is almost being a Christian.
Yeah.
And within the larger, the majority culture, people think we have enough churches. But then when you add the element of all the people that are brand new to this country or the newcomers, then you quickly see these people really need the gospel. I mean, all of us do, but we need to start thinking about how can we reach this communities. So I think this is the blessing of networks. And so I've been working with two networks, and the exposure that churches have to different kinds and models of church planting is important. It's important, for instance, within New City Network right now, there was a church that just stopped utilizing or they upgraded their sound system. And typically, that probably would have would have been given away. But since we're in a network and there's other Hispanic churches that are being planted, it was quickly decided, no, we need to give this to another church plant. And there's a connection already right there. They realized that what they basically let go of that was old for them, it was a treasure for another church. So that exposure is, I think, one of the blessings of working within networks and just being in close contact with people that see things differently and learning from each other as well.
Love it. And great. I will tell you that I don't think I've ever planted a church where someone didn't give us a sound system from another church. So it's, it's kind of the thing. Maybe that's the thing that gets handed down, but it's like, like handed down clothes. But I think it's a good thing. I think, I love it. I love it. Good. One of the things too, that probably we need to factor into this is that for a lot of church plants are planted in areas where, you know, Chewy mentioned that there might not be churches in this community, specifically mentioned Afghan, which obviously wouldn't be. But also, too, churches go through life cycles. And so you're planting, Catherine, you guys are in Alpharetta, where there are established churches. Now, Alpharetta has been a boom town. It's probably boomed now. It's full. So it's not like there's thousands and thousands of people moving in. They're moving up at exit 17 off of Georgia 400, not exit 10 and 11. So, but that life cycle has to be taken into it. But it's sometimes harder to persuade people to be involved in church planting in areas like that. So I guess, you know, for a lot of people, they lack knowledge. Having a positive posture towards church planting has to do with a lot about being taught the Great Commission. And you mentioned it. You lead evangelism there. And it's the Great Commission certainly includes international missions, but it's not just international missions. It includes church planting. So what are some key pieces of information do you think, Catherine, church members need to know if they're going to raise their church planting IQ in maybe places like where you are in Alpharetta or in different communities like Chewy mentioned?
Yeah. Ed, I think you're right. I think a lot of people wonder, is church planting for me? Do I have a place in church planting? And is it really needed here? But I think if every church member knew and really understood that everybody can do something when it comes to church planting, it makes it a lot easier to engage. One thing that every single person could do to engage in church planting is pray for a church planter or pray for a church plant. Yeah. That is a simple thing that every single person can do. And I know a lot of times when people say, okay, I can pray for someone, they see that as, all right, I'm just praying. But the reality is what we know is the most important thing we can do is pray. And so every single church member can get engaged in church planting by praying for a planter. The North American Mission Board actually has Pray for Planters. And then you can find that at prayforplanters.com. But you could really actually go on there and select a church planter in a city. And it's actually really cool because you get that church planter's email address, contact info. Wow. They have yours. I mean, I think about right now, Hope Church has 12 different churches that are praying for us. And prayer changes everything. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times we don't realize just the magnitude of prayer. And so realizing that everybody can do something, start by praying and then see where the Lord leads from there. But I think that piece of information and acting on that just starts the process of getting people engaged in church planting.
Good. Keep them thinking about church planting. Chewy, I want to come back to you for a last word on that. What exhortation would you have to get churches thinking about and raising their thinking about church planting?
Yeah. So again, within my context, and I guess I would consider myself a bridge between the larger culture to the minority culture. I would even suggest taking local mission trips. So the idea of, you know, taking a bunch of teenagers to a different country for a couple of weeks and raising thousands of dollars, I don't think that's wrong, but I think that we have a new and cheaper and faster opportunity today. And I would encourage all churches, even Hispanic and minority churches, to find ways to mobilize their church to serve or to visit or to partner with another church in a community that's that like that. I truly believe that the future of church planting is along those lines in terms of how are we going to impact and reach the new people that are coming to our country. And that is not entirely unique to America. It's also happening in Mexico. There's an influx of Haitian immigrants and all kinds of different people. Now in Mexico, there are Ukrainians coming in. And as a church, we are called to find ways to reach those communities. So I believe that one of the best ways to get our IQ high as a church is finding ways to do local missions. Like, rethink about that. How are we going to do it? I don't think we need to continue to spend thousands of dollars. I think there's an easier way now, and that will help us touch and see the need in our neighborhoods and 10 minutes away from our house.
Good, good, good. Great conversation with both of you. Thank you. As we help churches raise their church planting IQ, if we're going to see multiplication, we need all kinds of churches engaged and involved. So thanks for taking the time, and thanks for listening to everyone to the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.